Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and I've got to admit, I have been thinking a lot about angels during the Christmas season. We decorate with angels at our house. The old sanctuary is called the Church of the Angels because many of the stained glass windows have angels in them. We have people who remind me of angels. It's biblical, and what's more, I'm married to Mary Ruth, and that makes me think about angels a lot. She is my earth angel. I did hear about a couple of old codgers, and they were going to their 50th high school reunion, and one of them, Joe, said, "Yeah, I'm married to an angel." And Bill said, "You lucky rascal, my wife is still living." Now, some people have this misconception that when you die, you graduate into being an angel. That's not what the Bible says whatsoever. As a matter of fact, an angel is a spiritual being that acts as an agent and messenger of God, generally represented in human form with wings and a long robe. You see, angels are these special creations of God. They are not graduated human beings. They are designed to perform God's ministries and to deliver God's messages. So with that in view, here's what we're going to do. The goal is to learn about angels so that we can emulate their work and service. Well, let's launch into this opportunity as we come to Matthew chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away privately. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for meeting with us this morning and using angels as an opportunity to teach us your expectations for our service. Father, I pray that you would get me out of the way and allow your Spirit to deposit your transforming truth into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's start right here as we see how the activity of angels connects to the ministry of Jesus and also coaches us on what he expects for us to do. Let's begin with number one, announced his birth. That's what angels did. They announced his birth. Now, it's fascinating to me that throughout the scriptures, angels have been linked to the ministry of birth announcements. You can all go all the way back to Genesis chapter 16. In Genesis chapter 16, there was a squabble between Sarah and Hagar. And Hagar fled out into the wilderness, and who met with her but the angel of God? The angel of God said, "Hagar, you will have a baby named Ishmael." And so he reassured her of her purpose, and he told her to go back to Sarah, and she would find care and consolation there. In Genesis chapter 18, Sarah and Abraham, who were promised a baby by the Lord and hadn't had one, had a visit by angels. And they affirmed that Abram would become Abraham, the father of nations, because even though they were senior adults, way past the childbearing age, they would have a baby. And an angel made the announcement. Go to Judges chapter 13. And there's a man named Manoah. Manoah and his wife can't have a baby. This is the time of the judges when God uses special agents to govern and guide his people. And this angel comes and says, "You will have a child, Manoah, and you'll name him Samson." They even delivered his name and told about the diet that he would eat. This was all done by an angel. Well, fast forward to New Testament times. You come to the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, an angel comes to a man who was a priest of the Levitical order named Zechariah. And this angel says to Zechariah, "Zechariah, you and your wife Elizabeth have not been able to have a child, but you are going to have a child. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to name him John. John the Baptist." Not John the Methodist. Not John the Episcopalian. John the Baptist. I like that. And so you name him John. And when he began to doubt that he was having a visit with an angel, do you know what that angel did? Snatched away his voice. He could not speak until the baby was born, and he asked for a tablet to write the name John down, and his voice was released. Then go to what the angel did for Mary. Oh, we look further into the story of Luke, and there is the angel coming to this young woman in Nazareth. Maybe it was evening. Maybe Mary had gone to fetch some water for supper. She's outside, and all of a sudden, there materializes in front of her this magnificent creature, an angel from God. And the angel makes this startling announcement and says, "Mary, God has selected you to bear the Redeemer of humankind. You are to bear the Son of God." And she says, but time out, how can I do that? Because I've never been with a man. And the angel simply explains, nothing's impossible with God. And then she says, I'll embrace the assignment. She said, I will be the servant, the doulos of the living God. Now, Joseph needed a little reassurance because he was a bit skeptical that Mary was expecting a supernatural child. So in the Gospel of Matthew, who would go see Joseph? None other than an angel appearing in a dream, giving him assurance that everything that has happened has been orchestrated by God Himself, and it's okay. Joseph's assignment is to take care of Mary and the baby and be their protector and provider. But then the crown of it all comes in Luke chapter 10, chapter 2 and verse 10. Do you remember what happens? In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus has been born in Bethlehem, and all of a sudden these shepherds who are watching over their flock by night, they are visited by an angelic host. I mean, a host of these divine creatures come, and these angels come, and they startle these shepherds with the announcement, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Can you imagine the fear and simultaneous joy that gripped these shepherds' hearts? What a moment. And that moment was delivered by the angels of God. And friend, that's our job. Our job is to echo that message. For unto all people has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So this is the first thing that I want you to see, that we are to be people who echo the good news of the angels that God has provided a Savior. Number two, angels assisted in His temptation. Think about this. We learn in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, please note on your worksheet, "Then the devil left Jesus and angels came and attended Him." Let me set the frame around this moment. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized to start His ministry at age 30 in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Now, after He is baptized, what happens? The dove of God's Spirit lands on Jesus. And it's an affirmation from the Father that this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Spirit, the Bible says, propels Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days to fast and prepare to be the Redeemer of humanity. Now, I want you to extract a principle. This is so important that you understand. Now, here is Jesus. And After the dove comes the devil. Mark that down. After the dove comes the devil. Have you ever had a spiritual high where you've just seen God show up and show off? God does something spectacular for you. And then right on the heels of that great victory, who shows up? The devil himself. Well, I've had a few occasions where I've been part of great revivals and then come home and have a fuss with Mary Ruth. Can you believe that? I mean, I just can't even hardly believe it. I'm not saying that Mary Ruth's a devil because I just called her an angel, but I'm just saying that the devil after the dove. It's a principle. It's out there. I've seen people get baptized, give their life to Christ. I had one young man that was baptized. He called me at 2 a.m. He got arrested because he got in a fight over his baptism. Well, go figure. The devil shows up after the dove, so be on the alert. So here is Jesus. He's just gotten baptized. The dove descends on him. He is thrust out into the wilderness. And when he is vulnerable, what happens? The devil shows up and tries to tempt him, tries to derail his purpose. And what does Jesus do? He pulls out the sword of the scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. He slices old smutty face to pieces. He just does battle with the devil with those three scriptures from Deuteronomy, and he pops him, 1, 2, 3, and he defeats him. Well, he is still depleted. Well, who shows up? The angels show up, the scripture says, and they attend him. Did you know that the word attend is the word in the scripture, diakonos? It's the same word that we get a deacon from. It means through the dust. It means to serve. So here's the takeaway. In the same way those angels showed up to serve Jesus, we are called to be ministering angels. We are called to serve in the name of Jesus. Now, what did those angels do? They probably fed him. You can link that back to 1 Kings 19. Do you remember Elijah just had a great victory on Mount Carmel, and then he was plunged into depression. He was so depressed, he wanted to take his own life. And who showed up? Angels. And what did they bring him? Water and cake. That's the origin of angel food cake. Okay. So what do you think they served Jesus? A little angel food cake, probably, when he was depleted. You see, that's what God wants you to do. Maybe somebody's hungry or hurting in your neighborhood. Make love edible. Show up with a little angel food cake. Maybe somebody's emotionally depleted. Show up with some encouragement. Take them a scripture. Take them some love. Maybe somebody needs some friendship. Well, then be their emotional support. Do you see what I'm saying? Whatever it looks like, become an attendant, a servant. Become someone's personal angel. That's what we learn from number two. Number three, affirmed in his teaching. Now, some of you may be here and scientifically and empirically minded, and you're wondering, oh, you know, those are just metaphors. That's just a picture. Not according to Jesus. Listen to what Jesus himself, the ultimate authority, said about the reality and ministry of angels. For instance, in Luke 15, verse 7, Jesus tells the story about the lost things in Luke 15. He said there was a guy who had 100 sheep, lost one of them. He went out searching for them, and he found that lost sheep. You remember the story. But what's the trailer? When he brought that sheep home, he said they rejoiced over the found sheep. And he said, in the same way, when there is one sinner that repents and turns from his sin, do you know what the angels do? They rejoice in heaven. Can't you just see those angels moonwalking in heaven when somebody walks down an aisle right here? Can't you just see those angels throwing a party and high-fiving each other? Way to go, Gabe. Way to go, Michael. Did you see him get saved? Oh, yeah. That's what the Bible says, that the angels rejoice when a sinner repents. Not only that, but it says in Luke 16 that an angel escorts saints to heaven. An angel will escort a saint to heaven. All right, here's this man, Lazarus. He is dying on the doorsteps of a rich man that is unnamed. This rich man could care less. He is so narcissistic and self-absorbed. He's got a guy dying on his doorsteps. He doesn't even care, doesn't give him the time of day. He just watches him perish and rot away. Well, when it's time for both of them to die on the same day, an angel shows up and escorts Lazarus all the way to heaven. But the rich man ends up where? He goes to hell. So I just want you to know that God releases angels to take His saints into His presence. That's what Jesus said. Now, friends, on hundreds of occasions, I've been near people as they near their death and eternal life in Christ. And I can't tell you how many times I've asked that God would release one of His tender angels and bring a loved one home. That's a very legitimate prayer. But there's a little more on angels. Look at your worksheet. Look at Matthew 18, verse 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." You see, this is an introduction of the concept of the guardian angel. We've all heard about guardian angels. We've seen it in the Scripture on several occasions. For instance, in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is thrown down into the lion's den. Well, who shows up to clamp shut the mouth of the lions? None other than an angel. An angel protected Daniel. It's in Acts chapter 12. James has been beheaded. Peter is in jail. And what happens? In the middle of the night, who shows up? None other than the angel of God walks in, grabs Peter, awakens him. They walk through the jail, and every door just opens like you've gone to the grocery store, and it just flings open in front of them. And they walk out scot-free because an angel delivered him. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul, he is caught in the grips of a storm. He is discouraged. He's trying to get to Rome. He's afraid he'll be executed. But an angel comes and he says, "Paul, you will go to Rome. And the 276 people that are on this ship with you, they will all be saved." That angel spoke a word of reassurance. So I would suggest to you to do this. Understand that God has protective agents around you. Have you ever read Billy Graham's book, Angels, God's Secret Agents? Oh, it's a great book. It's a classic. I would urge you to read it. Now, one of my favorite stories in it is about a missionary named John Patton. John Patton. John Patton went to the New Hebrides Islands as a missionary, knowing full well that the people who lived there were headhunting cannibals. In other words, they ate people, except for clowns. Cannibal will never eat a clown because they taste funny. But anyway, John Patton went to the New Hebrides Islands. So they are going to attack him. Man, he's going to be like a missionary lunch for these guys. Well, he and his wife and his child, they are in their little hut, and they see outside all these hostile people surrounding them. And it's a big force, and they think, "This is going to be it. Oh, God, we just commit ourselves into your spirit." But they go away. Unexplainably, they go away. Well, weeks pass. He goes out and shares the gospel witness, and many people come to Christ. You know what they said about Patton? He said when he went to the New Hebrides, there were no Christians. When he died, there were no non-believers. The whole island was revived, a spiritual awakening. Amazing. Well, he went to this chief, and he said, "You came and surrounded our hut. Why didn't you attack?" He said, "We couldn't attack because the guards that were surrounding your hut were so fearsome." He said, "What guards?" "We had no guards." He said, "I don't know who they were, but we did not attack because we were afraid." Now, you can add that up the way you want to, but here's how I added up. God showed up. God created a protective agent for his missionary. So always remember to do this. Make a note, pray Psalm 91:11. I pray it for my children and loved ones every day. Psalm 91:11. What does it say? It's a promise from the heart of God that says, "I will set my angels on guard over you. I will set my angels on guard over you." Oh, I pray that for my loved ones and my children. Pray that for many of you. That as you go into difficult places, as you go on a mission endeavor, that as you seek to serve the Lord, God will protect and guide you. Pray Psalm 91:11. Then number four, please make this note. Angels available at his death. Angels available at his death. Let me explain that. Look on the scripture on your worksheet. Look at that scripture, Matthew 26:53. Now, Jesus is about to be arrested and then crucified. And he makes this statement, Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? All right, here's the setting. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas leads a company of 200 soldiers to identify Jesus, betray him so they can kill him. As they walk up, what does Peter do? He pulls out a sword, and he's a fisherman, not a fighter. And he takes a whack at Malchus, the high priest's servant. Malchus evidently ducks because I'm sure that Peter is not intending to nick him. He's intending to cut his head off. But he catches his ear and just cuts it, slices it off. And Jesus just picks it up, plops it right back on. Now, that's my kind of doctor. You know, Dr. Jesus, pop right back on. And then what does Jesus say? He says, put up your sword. He said, don't you know that if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels to my rescue? Or 12 legions. A legion is comprised of 6,000 soldiers. Okay, so 6,000 times 12 is what? 72,000. I already worked it out. Now go to Isaiah chapter 37. In Isaiah 37, do you know what happens? In Isaiah 37, the Assyrian army is camped against the Israelites, and they're about to come in and crush them, annihilate them. And God sends just one angel. Just one angel shows up. And in a few hours, that one angel just destroys, massacres, slaughters 185,000 of the best troops on planet Earth, just like that. Or let's do a little more math. So if you had 72,000 killing machine angels, and Jesus calls them to his rescue, and one of them can kill 185,000, when you multiply that out, that's 13,320,000,000. That's their killing capacity. So here's Jesus being mistreated on planet Earth, and the angels are looking over the balcony of heaven, and they're hoping Jesus will say, sick 'em, boys. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the kind of destruction they would wreak on humanity if Jesus unleashed them? So that's why Jesus said, put up your sword, Peter. If I wanted to, I could unleash the greatest killing force imaginable on these enemies. But friends, he didn't come to kill us. He came to save us. So he didn't unleash the angels. He unleashed his mercy and grace. Let me show you one more. Number five, accompany him at the second coming. Oh, this is remarkable. Accompany him at the second coming. The scripture tells us active at the resurrection, number five. Sorry. Active at the resurrection. Look at Matthew 28. There was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the tomb, the stone, and sat up on it. Now, this is Easter Sunday morning. Jesus has been crucified. They think he's dead, but he's not. Mary and Mary Magdalene, they come to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. And when they get there, what do they find? They find an angel sitting on the stone. Now, that was a big stone, and that angel threw it away like a frisbee, just rolled it away. And this angel was sitting there resplendent with the Shekinah glory of God. And all of a sudden, do you know what happens? These ladies come up, and they see that the tomb is open. The angel opened the tomb, not so Jesus could get out, but so that the observers could get in and see what had happened. And when they saw that angel, the angel made the ultimate announcement. They said, he is not here. He has risen. Oh, my friend, this is what we are to do. We are to make the proclamation that the living Jesus has arisen in us. If you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, after Jesus ascends into the heavens, who shows up? An angel. An angel says, why are you staring into the heaven? Quit staring and start serving. Go to work, because he's coming back soon. Well, that's our message. And one last thing. Go to number six. Accompany him at the second coming. Oh, this one's huge. Accompanying him at the second coming. We learn in Matthew 24, verse 31, the scripture says, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from the end of the heavens, one end to the other. Do you know what this is a picture of? This is a picture of the second coming of Jesus and the rapture of his church. You see, when the Lord wraps up time and history, here's what he's going to do. He's going to say to his angels, I want to bring up all of those who follow me. You know, when the end comes, I'm not going to be looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. And that's what the rapture is going to be. The rapture is going to be when all of those who follow Jesus are taken up. One day I was following a guy, and he had this interesting bumper sticker right in front of me. It said, on the bumper sticker, it said, in case of rapture, this car will temporarily lose control as my mother-in-law takes the wheel. Well, anyway, I'm not sure about that theology, but I do think the relationship was rancid. Anyhow, this is what's going to happen. God is going to extract his children. But not only does he bring his children home, the angels, listen to Matthew 13, the angels will not only take saints to heaven, they will take the ants to hell. Listen to this. Matthew 13, 41, and the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil, they will throw them into the blazing furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, understand that these angels will indeed deliver people to heaven, but they will also execute the judgment of God. We learn in Revelation chapter 20 that mighty angels will take Satan and all those who follow him into the horrors of hell. This is what the scripture declares. Well, let me give you the bottom line. Please fill in the last blanks. Conclusion, like an angel, serve as God's messengers and ministers. This is what God wants us to do. Serve as his messengers, echoing what the angel said, that he is arisen, that a Savior has been born to you. Then be his minister. Go to work on his behalf. Just a quick, simple, mundane story. I always try to see the Lord in all the events of my life. It was last Monday night. We had just had a deacon's meeting. And after the deacon's meeting, we'd come in here to pray, and then the people started to filter away. I had a few other things to do. It was about 8:15, and I was leaving my office. My car was parked out in the Scott Street lot right beside Lawrence Street. And if you go up Lawrence Street, just a little ways, there's the library, the public library on the left. Well, as I'm approaching my car, I happened to just look down, and some green money was just laying there right beside my back car. And I thought, gosh, what? That looks like some cash. Oh, my lucky day, I thought. So I reached down and I picked it up, and it was crumpled up, and it was three $1 bills, and it was a five. And I thought, I bet somebody was cutting through our parking lot from the library. They reached into their pocket, and they inadvertently just dropped out their money. And so I thought, oh, I bet that's somebody. Supper money, I bet they need that money. Oh, it just made me feel so sad. And so I looked and I saw a guy walking up toward the library. So I jumped in the car, and I always have a track with me, one of these little gospel brochures that contain the Word of God and the path to salvation. So I put this in it. I always carry a cross. I got my cross out because I want to be an angelic messenger of God. And then I even reached in and I got a living Christmas tree ticket out. I don't know. I've been giving them to everybody. Didn't want to leave the guy out. So I pull up. And I had this little package, and I said, hey, buddy, probably about a 20-year-old guy, an African-American guy. And I said, did you by any chance drop some money back in our parking lot? I'm the pastor at First Baptist. He said, no, but I sure could use some money. I said, well, I'll tell you what, consider this a gift from God's heart to you. And I gave him that money. He said, oh, well, my name's Cornelius. Thank you so much. And you're the pastor of that church? He said, I pastor there all the time. You'll be seeing me. Cornelius, are you here? I'm looking for you. Because God is looking for people. And we have the privilege of being His messengers and His ministers. Let's pray. Oh, Father. Father, thank You for creating angels, these divine agents, to do Your work and to share Your word. Lord, I pray that You would teach us how to emulate their ministry. And I pray especially that Your Spirit would be released in this place, that we would do whatever You direct us to do today. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.